Hi, Mark. Good morning to you.
Morning, Michael. So
today we're going to be addressing the issue of social media, defamation and harassment. I'm here today with Mark Reed, who is a solicitor at Lauder and runs the social media defamation department as such. There's four of us, and I say four, I've allocated a trainee as well because of the sheer amount of interest and inquiries we've had. Which, Mark, would you say that over the past 18 months post-pandemic has increased?
Yeah, I remember when we sort of went into lockdown last year, we sort of hit a time where everyone was working from home and we were having to sort of sit there and work out working from our mobiles. And I found there were days, because there were so many inquiries coming in, that there were days when I was just spending all day on my mobile just talking to people about, issues or alleged issues that they were having with other people. And it all seemed to originate through social media.
And so other people, so, I mean, just to clarify for those listeners in terms of what this type of defamation harassment means. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're walking down the street and shouting derogatory things about you or your family or your job or what. It's in writing, is it? How is it being communicated to these people?
Well, I sort of led you into that then because I was hoping you'd ask that question. Because when I say from another person, I wanted to just stay away briefly from companies and issues with... Certainly when it comes to defamation, which is obviously libel, slander. I'm saying obviously, it seems to be such a generic term now that that everyone seems to just be aware of the repercussions of it. But ultimately, lately we're getting a lot more individuals, maybe the odd trading as person rather than big company, but individuals that are being targeted online and their lives are being ruined by one other, what I would consider as a troll.
What, friends, family, competitors, or a mixture of all?
Mixture of all, but yes, actually, there usually is a link between them. It's someone that they know. I wouldn't say know closely, but it could be someone that they had a ding dong in a pub, and then suddenly it started this line of abuse. Really.
And what type of abuse would it be? I mean, forgive me if there's some bad language, but I'm afraid. That's the way it is.
So,
what type of thing?
Yeah, so swearing is quite common because, you know, when you're using certain swear words, the impact and the draw that you tend to have from others that are reading through their own feeds, as in news feed, on the social media platform.
And people are speaking like they're writing.
That's right, and people are drawn to it. They're drawn to pictures. And they're drawn to bad language. For some reason, you tend to find an awful lot more people when they see the F word or indeed the C word that is written down on a thread.
That's not necessarily defamatory.
No, it's correct.
So in terms of what type of examples have you come across?
Okay, the one that actually is more common than you would like...
And a warning here to people, there is some bad language here.
Yeah, the one that tends to be more common than you would like it to be is paedophilia. And
you pedo this, you pedo that.
Yeah, correct, yeah. And there's so much where people really try to affect someone else's or impact on someone else's character by just slurring those types of words that have got no, you know, real justification for, because they know that it has a lasting impact.
So if you are a victim or you feel you've been a victim of some derogatory comment, harassment, things that strike you as not being normal behaviour, I sort of say to myself, would you react like that in the street or to members of your own family on the telephone or when you write a letter? You would never do that, would you?
No.
So there's a new phenomenon of people being able to say what they want, to whom, when they want, without any fear of any comeback. But quite clearly, there is going to be comeback because people have had enough.
And the thing is when someone's had enough, it's usually too late because they, try to deal with it privately. The community aspect comes into it a lot as well when you've got villages or small towns where not everyone knows everyone, but to a degree, that does apply and the damage is done. And usually it's done to, cause someone immense amounts of stress and strain on, relationships. And friendships moving forward. So
practically speaking,
what can you do?
We deal with it every day. So let's have a scenario whereby John reaches out to you and says, "Hi Mark, I've received a number of communications via Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook concerning an allegation of child abuse. And it's pretty horrible. And it's clearly identifies John as the alleged perpetrator, and it's clearly people who are known to him. We think there are four people, and one of whom is named, the other three aren't named. Where do you start?
Well, first things first, if someone was to phone our office and want to discuss a matter like that, using that as an example, we would obviously need to get to the bottom of where it started, you know, because people will never tell you the full truth as to what's happened. It's just, I didn't do this and what can I do about it? You know, I want to sue them. But if you can try and break down those walls there with the person on the phone, and try and get to the bottom as to where it started, you'll then be able to identify whether there is a case at all. And it's really important because it's not cheap, and sadly it's not something that is available to sort of the everyday person that hasn't got, you know, any money.
We don't do legal aid. Legal aid is not available.
No, it's not.
So when we get a call, I had one earlier on this morning, obviously I think I spent about 45 minutes. That's not going to be charged. That's just a general discussion to...
Which people are grateful of that as well, because I do get a lot of calls that I deal with, and you give them that time because they deserve that time.
And they don't know what's going on. They don't know where to go.
No, absolutely. But they do, you know, tend to find that they are up against a brick wall constantly because of the fact that they have to pay for advice. And I understand that. I do get that.
No, but I also think it's important as well from our perspective that when you do field these calls, many of which aren't defamatory or harassment. It's just people engaging in perhaps not as reasonable as one would expect, but it doesn't fall, it's lower than the threshold. And so we need to spend time with that individual to ascertain whether or not there is a claim.
Of course. And of course, it's not, even if there's a claim, we have to consider certain defences as well. We're not actually going to go into that in too much detail on this podcast, are we? Because we were thinking of actually looking through some case law and defences and maybe discuss it another time.
Yeah.
But loosely speaking, there are some defences to defamation. And
one of which being, is it true or not?
Absolutely, you know, there's truth, and they all intertwine as well. It's a very interesting area of law, as much as it's not obviously interesting to those that are in the thick of it, but certainly to us in the industry.
So let's say that we've carried out this 45 minute to an hour evaluation. The client likes us, we like the client, and what then?
Okay, so first things first, if we consider there to be the capability to actually take action against the person or persons involved, then after we've dealt with all of our housekeeping and dealt with the, you know, client care, etc., we then have to start drafting a letter. Now, you asked a question earlier, which was really important. If you're dealing with a troll that's online, you might not know exactly where they are from. But of course, if we're going to be instructed to write a letter and we need to be able to set out the law of defamation, then and the true position, and of course the background in what's happening, then we need to be able to send it somewhere. So that will become part of the due diligence process when we're having a discussion with the now client as to do they have any information about the person or persons involved. If they've got no information at all other than a name online and there is no connection, Michael, perhaps you could take over from what the possibilities are, even though it's costly.
Yeah, it's an unusual and bespoke procedure, which is known as the Norwich Farmacle procedure. You don't know the name of the person who made the postings. It is actionable. And so you will then contact the ISP, the BT, the Virgin, the Sky, and ask them to release the information of the person's IP address that we have. They will decline on the grounds of GDPR, at which point then you have to issue an application in the High Court before a master seeking the
information to be released.
Determination to release the data. It's very long-winded. It doesn't happen very often. Ideally, we need to know the identity of the person because it saves £10,000-£15,000 worth of which will not be recoverable. So ideally, identity is known. But presumably, we need to comply with the civil procedure rules and set out our case.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and then, you know, when it comes to, you know, setting out a case, Everyone, you know, considers themselves to have a case, but is it a strong case? And the reasons why you're needing that and the importance of it are paramount to be able to make an application.
This initial letter, this first shot across the bow.
Yep.
The purpose of which is what?
Well, in the first instance, you're opening dialogue with the other side. You want them ultimately to be aware of what is going on, and you know how their actions have consequences. And quite shockingly, a lot of people think they're hiding behind the social media platform and that no one can touch them and that they can just do what they like and even try and quote, you know, the Human Rights Act and free speech and everything. But the actions have consequences. Part of that first letter opening the dialogue is important.
That's a letter of claim.
Is absolutely, you know, you being able to put them on notice that this is the background, this is the law, this is the true position of the situation, and these next steps, if you do not comply with the following, will happen. And you're setting it out for them in detail. I mean, I'd be surprised if you could draft a letter in that regard for, you know, with less than sort of 5 pages plus all of your evidence to support.
And I was always taught as well that you're only as good as your documents. And so therefore, this letter of claim, 4 to 5 pages, is as close to your definitive legal argument put forward that you'll be putting forward to the judge at a later stage.
Yeah, of course. It'll be referred to. So everything about that needs to pack a punch. But ultimately, as much as you are, of course, you know, setting this letter out with the intention of taking action, a lot of the time people will instruct us, and as much as they may have the intention of taking further action, they just want us to just try and bury it quickly and see if we can get that person on the other end to just see reason.
So on that, seeing reason, let's look at this positively. Let's look at the fact that, yes, defamatory and harassment has occurred. Yes, the victim feels aggrieved. And yes, the opponent has accepted that they were wrong. How do we nip it in the bud with this letter of claim? What do we do?
What we do is we always have an exhibit within the letter, which has
an exhibit.
Annex. You've got all of your evidence and everything that you're putting behind the letter.
Supporting documents,
and that will have a one-page document that we call undertakings. And what you're doing is you're offering that person, you've drafted it, you're offering that person an opportunity to read the information that is held within, and that information will include an apology and clearly removing all of the defamatory comments or posts or pictures or anything that's gone on the social media platform. Remove them all immediately. If there's been reviews that are clearly false, remove them. And it will be a list of expectations that we are inviting them to agree to sign. And they're called undertakings.
An undertaking is almost a contract, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. And they're signing to it to say that I agree to do the following for you. And usually within that, you would then express some expectation for some form of sort of damages for the for what's happened and your legal costs to be covered as well. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of people would come back and say, I'm not agreeing to these undertakings, and they try and make it go away by just explaining their reason behind it, but that just means they haven't understood the letter, and we would always expect that person to go and seek independent legal advice. But eventually,
I mean, it does happen,
crossed,
doesn't it, that we get the letter of claim out, the 28 day period from 20, when we send it.
21.
Yeah. There is a period of three weeks, 4 weeks, whereby we discuss, negotiate, and it can be brought to an end.
Which is always what you want. You want to keep things amicable, as much as there's nothing amicable about what is going on, but you want to try and keep things amicable. You know, for the sake of cost and more stress and strain and the potential of going to court, nobody wants that. I can't understand why no one, you know, why some people just think that they can just let it go and I'll see you in court.
So a top tip, if you were going to give one top tip to anybody who was thinking of, God forbid, having to pick up the phone or email us, being a victim of harassment, what would that top tip be?
First things first, I would say before you've even contacted us, conduct your own research and actually consider reaching out to yourself, because it would save you cost. We can still quite happily talk you through it, but try and reach out, deal with it yourself. Try and keep things out of court, and you might find that by opening dialogue, you can come to a resolution that is suitable on both parties. However, because you've done that, that's a good thing. It also can cause more stress. So depending on the situation you're in, maybe just pick up the phone and pick our brains.
But you can, we've got a fact sheet online as well, which you can download or can send it to you. Just it's 2 pages just on some bullet points in relation to defamation and harassment and what to do. But thank you, Mark.
No, thank you, Michael.
Have a good day. And we'll you do too. Part two.
Yes, we will.
We'll post it tomorrow.
I've got a few cases that have happened recently that have been published, and I'm going to be having a little read through those with a cup of tea, and then we can discuss them and the outcomes. So thank you.
Thank you.